This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Thursday, April 27th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Old farm bill issues resurface. Biofuel deal saves debt plan and conservation standards in play. Lawmakers weigh planted versus base acres. Lawmakers have their work cut out for them when it comes to figuring out how to satisfy all the row crop producers with a stake in the Farm Bill commodity title. While many groups want some kind of increase in price loss coverage reference prices, there's no consensus yet on how to do it. The National Corn Growers Association notably called for modifying an escalator provision for reference prices. Other groups would favor an increase in the statutory rates, with one group arguing that the escalator is too slow to react to changes in markets. Now take note, another commodity issue that's surfacing is what to do, if anything, about base acres. Payments under the PLC and the Agriculture Risk Coverage Program, or ARC, are based on farmers' historical plantings, or base acres, rather than what they grow in a given year. Some farmers lack base acres, or they've shifted to growing different commodities. Representative Austin Scott, the Georgia Republican who chairs House Ag Subcommittee on General Farm Commodities, Risk Management, and Credit, confirms to AgriPulse that there's some discussion on the Hill about tying payments to planted acres rather than base acres. He said there are two parts to the discussion. How do you do a voluntary base update, but also how do you take care of people that are producing that don't have base acres? Some of the farm groups testifying yesterday expressed support for a voluntary base update that would allow farmers to add new base. So why does it matter? Well, switching payments to planted acres has been a hot-button issue in the past because it could run the risk of violating international trade rules. But a base update could be costly. Scott noted that lawmakers have other issues they'll need funding for, specifically mentioning a need to expand crop insurance for specialty crops. GOP debt plan clears hurdle. Republicans have won House passage of their plan to slash federal spending and raise the debt ceiling. A key roadblock was cleared when the GOP leadership agreed at the behest of Midwest Republicans to protect a set of biofuel-related tax incentives. The bill that passed 217 to 215 essentially establishes the GOP negotiating position for negotiations with the White House and Senate Democrats on the debt ceiling. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Key Senate trio may hold labor nominee's fate. Julie Sue's nomination as a labor secretary still faces a difficult path to Senate confirmation, but she did make it through a committee vote yesterday on a party line 11-10 consideration. Three key senators, Democrats Joe Manchin of West Virginia, John Tester of Montana, and independent Kirsten Sinema of Arizona, haven't said whether they will support Sue, who has been deputy secretary for nearly 2 years. The vote on that nomination was 50-47. Manchin, Tester, and Sinema all voted for Sue then. Before joining the Labor Department, Sue was California Labor Secretary. Also, Jessica Luman, who was cleared to be Wage and Hour Division Chief by the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee on March 28th, is also awaiting a full Senate vote. She has been the acting chief since the start of the Biden administration. Vilsack leans on Japanese to allow U.S. spuds. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack was in Japan over the weekend to attend a G7 summit. He also took the opportunity while he was there to meet with his Japanese counterpart and press for the country to lift its ban on table stock potatoes, the kind of spuds that consumers buy in grocery stores. Japan has been considering its approval for import of the U.S. potatoes for about 5 years. Vilsack said he's optimistic that it won't take much longer. Vilsack said, quote, "I'm hopeful we could see progress on this in a relatively short period of time, given the fact that a number of years have gone by." Japan already allows the import of U.S. chipping potatoes. The National Potato Council says the market for table stock potatoes would be worth $150 million a year. U.S. aid. Ethiopian war rivals teamed up to steal U.S. food. Former warring factions in Ethiopia colluded to steal food aid sent by the U.S. Agency for International Development to help those facing famine conditions of the country, that according to U.S. Aid Administrator Samantha Power. The theft was fairly substantial, although some of the food was recovered after investigators discovered the U.S.-branded products in markets. Power told the Senate Foreign Relations Committee yesterday. The theft apparently took place sometime after a truce was signed in early November by Ethiopia's government and leaders of the breakaway northern region of Tigray. NRCS mulls changes to conservation practice standards. The Natural Resources Conservation Service is asking for comments on proposed changes to its National Conservation Practice Standards, including the addition of automated drainage management structures to that particular standard. Other changes include strengthened requirements to account for effects of nutrients and hazardous gases when implementing anaerobic digesters, NRCS said in its notice published in today's Federal Register. Anaerobic digestion of livestock waste can increase the amount of nitrogen that is converted to ammonia and subsequently emitted from the resulting wastewater, the proposed practice standard for digesters says. Recovering energy could reduce fossil fuel combustion and associated emissions, thereby reducing the net effect of greenhouse gases and improving air quality. Finally, here's today's He Said It. That would be a major disaster if something like that were to happen to us. That Tom Haig, president of the National Corn Growers Association, when asked about the impact of cuts to crop insurance that would lead large growers to drop out of the program, potentially raising rates for other growers. Well, that's Daybreak for this Thursday, April 27th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.